Let's pray together before we read. Let us speak up. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have given us your own word, your living word. Thank you that we can share it together here. And I pray that you, by your Holy Spirit, will give us wisdom to understand and to receive the words from you. Father, I pray that you will set me aside and say what you want. In Jesus' name, amen. Revelations chapter 3. We have reached the fifth church. We had Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamon, Thyatira, and now we have reached Sardis. And we have talked a lot about how to interpret Revelations. Revelations is a strange, in many ways, book, but I do believe that Revelations is a book that's written for us. It's a book that's written about the church, and the main theme through Revelations is it's a book about Christ. He tells us in the first chapter, this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. So let's remember that going through the whole book of Revelations. This is the book about Jesus Christ. It's a book written by John. It's a book where Christ comes to John and tells him, this is what you need to write to encourage my church so that my church can persevere through the end times. And in all these churches we have read about here, Christ comes to the church and tell them what is wrong. Some of them he encourages by saying, I see this in you, but there are some things that needs to be corrected. And he always says, he who does hear what I just said to you, he who hears will survive, and I will give him to live with me forever. So we will have one of the very short passages for a church here in Sardis. And he doesn't start like the others with a recommendation from the church. He just goes straight on and says, this is what's wrong. And I think this is one of the churches that looks a lot like the churches that we know today. This is really something that we have to listen. Listen carefully. This is for you and for me. And we need to listen to it because if we do not listen, we're in trouble. We will not make it. That's what he says about the people that do not hear, they will not make it to the end. He who hears will receive from me, or will receive me, as we saw in the last chapter. Let's read it together. Johannes Åbenbaring, kapitel 3, og vers 1 til 6. Og skriv til englen for menigheden i Sardes. Dette siger han, som har Guds syv ånder og de syv stjerner. Han kender dine gerninger. Jeg kender dine gerninger. Du har ord for at leve, men er død. Vågn op og styrk resten, som er døden nær. For jeg har ikke fundet, at dine gerninger er fyldestgørende over for min Gud. Husk derfor, hvorledes du tog imod og hørte, hold fast ved det og omvend dig. Hvis ikke du vågner, kommer jeg som en tyv, og du ved ikke, hvilken time jeg kommer over dig. Men nogle få har du i Sardes, som ikke har sølet deres klæder til De skal vandre med mig i hvide klæder, for det er de værdige til. Den, der sejrer, skal klædes i hvide klæder, og jeg vil aldrig slette ham, hans navn, af livets bog, men vedkende mig hans navn over for min fader og hans engle. Den, der har ører, skal høre, hvad ånden siger til menighederne. Amen. Lad os tage det fra et ende af. Hvem har skrevet? We'll take it from start. Who wrote this? Who is the messenger? And who is it for? This is written to the angel of the church. And we started out in chapter 1 in the last section where we read, who is this angel of the church? And we also see these seven spirits and the seven stars. The angel of the church is the leader of the churches. Jesus comes and tells John to write this to the churches. And in the churches, he has put a leader or some leaders to bring this message to the church so that the church will hear what Christ said to John to tell the church. So we see to every church here, he says, I write this to the angel of the church. I write this to the persons that I have put in charge of the churches so that they can share this gospel or this proclamation for them. Christ comes to his church. I think this is one of the most encouraging things about all these churches. Christ himself comes to the church and he says, I care for you. I come to you because I love you. It doesn't matter how bad it looks in the church. Christ comes to his church and he says, I care for you. Therefore, I tell you these things. And he comes to this church, and as we have seen in the other churches, there is one sentence in every church where he comes as. In this church, he comes as the one who has the seven spirits and the seven stars. And that's what we read in chapter 1, where Christ is explained, these is the things that I am. And I come with one single sentence from this chapter 1, and he uses it for every church. And there is a purpose with this one sentence. Here he says, I am God with the seven spirits. We learned in chapter 1 that these numbers had a certain meaning. The number 7 is used many times in Revelations. And it's used as the number that is full. It is all of mine. We know about God is three. We have a triune God. God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We don't have seven spirits. We don't have God as nine. Like he comes here and say, I have the seven spirits. God has one spirit. There is one Holy Spirit. But he says here as a full number of a full spirit, all of the spirit. This is what I come to this church with the spirit, my spirit to this church. The seven stars, the seven servants of the churches. I come to all of my servants. And this is what I want to tell my church. And he comes to this church in Sardis. I know what you are doing. This is a great news, but it can also be a very devastating news. I see right through you. I know all that you have done. In the darkness, where you are alone, doesn't matter. I know every single thing that you have done your whole life. If you were on the wrong side, this would be devastating. Everything that I've done? Yes, everything. You can hide nothing from him. I know what you are doing. But not just what you're doing. I know what you think, and I know why you're doing what you're doing. We can pretend a lot of things. We can act as if we love without loving. It can just be an act, but God knows. He looks right through you, sees your emotions, your what do I want to gain from this? Or there's nothing hidden from him. I know your deeds. People around you say about you that you're alive, but you're dead. Wow. It can look very good on the outside, but it can be dead inside. We know Jesus tells about the Pharisees often. You are like these graves that are just pretty on the outside, but you're dead on the inside. This is what he comes to this church and says about them. You do all the right things. It looks like you're worshiping. You're dead. You're not doing it for the right reasons. You don't love Christ. You're just doing it as religious acts or just to look nice. This city, Sardis, it was a city on a hill. And there was a very small path up to this church or to this city. And it was almost impossible to conquer the city. It was a very small path up to it, so you could not go there. So it was very easy to take care of this. You didn't need many people to protect it from enemies. But these people in Sardis, they got careless. They thought, well, everything is good. Nobody can take the city. And they got so careless that they didn't even protect it anymore. And it got conquered twice. We know from history. It should not be possible. Listen, this is how we often work in our Christian lives. We think, well, everything is good. I'm doing well. Or am I? Am I aware of the dangers? Do I put up guards? Despite the, well, nobody should be able to take this, but what if they tried? What if Satan tried to take you one day? Would you be prepared? Are you aware of Satan's attacks on your life? Are you aware of how this society works against your belief with words? No, don't believe that. Believe this. No, that's not true. This is true. Sardis, they got careless. And sometimes we get careless with truth. What is the truth about things? What is the truth about my life? We live in a society where we're attacked massively about what is truth about people. I'm a man, you're a woman. No, we can be whatever we like to. Is that true? No, it's not the truth. God says I'm created as a man and he has created me as a man. How can we compromise? How dare we compromise? And this is just one thing. Do we really hold the scripture up and say, this is the truth? This is my guard for my life, and I will keep it. I will stand firm on it. This is what God says is the truth. The world is not agreeing. And if you stand firm on the truth, you will be attacked. They will come against you. I have a work, most of us maybe have a work where we would like to be friends with people at our work. So we compromise sometimes. It's not good. We want to be friends with this world. We look at people and we think, what do they think about me? Am I a good friend? Sometimes they will say, no, you're not a good friend because you don't want to do the same things that we do. You're not participating in what we're doing. So you get a little pushed out. You're different. We start compromising and our guards are falling. And Christ comes to this church in Sardis and says, watch out. Turn away from this world. Don't be like them. Be separate, set aside. Live like you are my people. When we read through the whole Old Testament about Israel, there was one thing that God took very much care of about Israel, and it was that you were set aside. Don't mess with the other ones. Don't be like them. Because if you do, you will take in their gods. And you will mix it all up in one big pile, and you don't know what's true. This is his warning to us today. Wake up. Stand firm. He says to this church, you have words about you that says that you're alive, but you're dead. You're still practicing the good things. You still come to church. You still pray. You still read your Bible. Your heart is not in it. It's just keeping up appearances. Wake up. Wake up and strengthen the rest. Strengthen the guy beside you because he's close to dying. These are hard words. Words to us today. We live in a society, I know here in Denmark at least, I think it's the same in Germany, where the church has folded and just run along with this world. We try to please everybody in this world. Oh, they don't like that? Okay, we'll change it a little. No, come on. Stand firm. Keep up your guards. Yes, but Christ is with me. He will take care of me. Yes, but listen. Keep up your guards. Otherwise, you will not stand firm. Be aware of what this world is doing to you. I have not found that your deeds are fulfilling. This is in the Danish. When God looks at your deeds, he says they are not worthy. They are not bearing fruit. Are your life bearing fruit? Or are you just attending church like a spectator? Coming there and seeing what's happening? Going back home? Yes, I did it. Ching. Been there, done that. Or are there fruits in your life? Are you a witness to other people? Can other people look at your life and say, he's a Christian? I know this guy. He's different. He doesn't look like everybody else. When he speaks, words of truth comes out his mouth. Words about Christ comes out of his mouth. He always wants to point me to somewhere. He wants to guide me. Yeah, he is actually a good guy, but I don't like him. He's different. He doesn't want to participate with me when I do these things. But he stands firm on the truth. And he tells me the truth every time I meet him. And he says here about this church, you're not bearing fruit. You're just playing along, being like this world. Remember how you received and how you heard, and hold on to it and repent. Repent from being so lazy, being so ignorant, thinking, well, it will be okay. I'll make it. Wake up. Stand firm and fight to the end. Fight for the truth. Don't fall asleep. I don't know if you remember Pilgrim's Progress. The worst time in Pilgrim's life was when he fell asleep. Discouragements came right after it. And he was so discouraged that he couldn't do anything, paralyzed. Until Christ came to him and said, come on. Believe in me, because that's what's wrong with you. You do not believe. That's why you're discouraged. Discouragement comes when we do not believe in him. When we do not believe in his power and that he is with me. What can go wrong? Who can be against you if I'm for you? And he comes here to this church with his spirit and says, I have my spirit. I'll give it to you so that you can live, so that you can be a witness. And he said, if you do not wake up, I will come as a thief. You don't know when. You don't know in what hour I will come to you. I will come and steal it away from you. If you are not awake. So his words to us today is be awake, be aware, set up these guards, protect yourself. Don't think that this will just go by itself to the end. Be aware. And here comes the good thing about this church. There are some few in your midst that has not bought into it. And I think this is why Christ comes to this church, because there are some there that really stands firm. Otherwise, they would all be dead. And he comes to the church and he encourages these few, stand firm, hold on to it. They have not. They have not messed their clothes up. They are not dirty. No, they are wearing what? They are wearing the righteousness of Christ. And this is why they can stand firm. They have a firm belief in Christ, that he has paid for my sins. And therefore, they can stand firm, because they know and believe in Christ. He is their master. He's their savior. He's the one they are living for. That is why they are not dirty. That is why they are not running along with this world, because they don't need the love of this world, because they have the love of Christ. And that's what holds them firm. And that's what should hold us firm. that we know Christ, and that we know that we are in Him, that we are loved by Him. Hold on to that truth. Don't ever forget it. He died for your sins on that cross. And He said, I love you so much. I will be with you to the end. I will satisfy you. You don't need all these things in this world. They can satisfy you for a very short time, but it will not last. But I can satisfy you. Come, come to Him, and He will satisfy you. And then you can live without this world. You don't need it. You don't need the things in this world because your heart is satisfied with Him. And then comes the big promise to them. The ones who conquers, I will dress them up in white clothes. And I will never erase them from the book of life. The book where He has written all the names of the ones that He has called. They are mine. They are the ones that know Christ. They are the ones that believe in Christ. He has died for my sins and I believe it, so my name is written in His book. And I know that this will last forever. And He will give me a new clothing when I come home, and they will be bright and white, and no stench of anything will be on it. We fight against sin in this life. And at times in our lives, it is a hard fight. But we do fight against sin. And we look forward to that day when I will not commit any sin anymore. I will have a relationship to my God with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my soul. I will love Him. I'm looking forward to that day. Wow. Where I can praise Him. Every day, there will be nothing between us. It will just be pure love, not messed up with something else. Wow. Are you looking forward to that day? The day where you shall be together with Him forever, closely, and without anything that interferes. No temptations anymore. It's going to be wonderful. He who hears shall hear. Hearing is not just hearing. Hearing is hearing and acting. If I tell my kids to clean up their room, they can hear me without doing it. And I'll tell them, you're not hearing. You're not listening. And this is what He says to us here. Listen and act. Don't go out this door as if nothing happened here. Please listen and act on what you've heard. Put up your guards. Stand firm. Live for Him. Be a witness in this world with your life and with your words. And there is promises to that. Then I will give you eternal life. He who believes, he receives eternal life. I hope this has been an encouragement to you. To seek Christ more, to love Him more, and to repent from the things that drags you into this world and drags you away from Christ. Be aware. Fight against it. We have an enemy, and he will do everything he can to put you out of your job, to make you miserable. But remember who's the strongest. Christ is the victor. He has the victory. Let's walk with him closely through this life. Amen. Let's pray together. Oh, Heavenly Father, I thank you that we can read in your word. Help us to listen. Help us to receive it and live by your word. Father, we need you. We need your strength. We need your wisdom to fight against our enemy. Father, I thank you that you come to us with your gentle words. You come and say, I'm with you. Fear not. I have overcome death. Nothing in this world can harm you because I'm with you. Father, I pray that you will give us strength to stand in our daily life as a firm witness of your truths. Father, please give everyone that's here what they need. You know what they need. Help them, strengthen them. Wake them up like you did with the church here, so that they can be your witnesses. Father, I pray in your holy name. Amen. We try to remember some verses in the Bible every Sunday.